Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 19th, 2017, and I am Jason Powell. Coming up after this brief break for non-members, my full review of Tuesday's WWE SmackDown Live, featuring Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, and AJ Styles facing the team of Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Jinder Mahal. Tuesday's WWE SmackDown Live was in Newark, New Jersey at Prudential Center, and just kind of similar to Raw in that it felt like one of those shows where if you watched, you probably came away feeling fairly satisfied, but if you missed the show, maybe you have holiday plans or whatever, life goes on. There's not a ton happening from a storyline standpoint on the show, but they are filling these shows with some decent wrestling, and I know that will please a lot of listeners of this show. I like a good balance, and so I'm looking forward to getting through the holidays as far as the wrestling is concerned. Looking forward to enjoying the holidays, of course, but as far as WWE programming is concerned, I'm just looking forward to getting into the new year and watching as things kind of heat up for the Rumble. With that said, we'll kind of work our way through this using, I'm going to be using Jake Barnett's live review that he does every Tuesday night at ProWrestling.net as my outline. So if you'd like to do the same and kind of get a feel for where we're going, get Jake's take on the show, you certainly can. They open things up with Daniel Bryan coming right out. The broadcast team was Tom Phillips, Corey Graves, and Byron Saxton. And he was there to address the situation. What happened at the pay-per-view, at Clash of Champions, they did acknowledge the fact that, number one, I guess, that there's going to be a Women's Royal Rumble, and also that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were still gainfully employed. And Brian didn't get to say too much. He was interrupted by Shane McMahon, who came out, and he was mad at Daniel Bryan, but not so mad that he couldn't stop and do his little dance on the stage. And then once he got in the ring with Bryan, he did his little dance again. Long story short on this kind of verbal exchange between the two was, you know, Shane not pleased with the actions of Daniel Bryan, but at the same time, Daniel Bryan standing up for himself and talking about how they shared the idea of SmackDown being a land of opportunity, but Shane would have taken the opportunity away that he promised everyone, and basically saying that, you know, it shouldn't just go for people that you like. And so he was down on him for, in his basically in his opinion, being unfair to Zayn and Owens. And, you know, Shane prodded him a little bit, but each time, Bryan would fire back. And I even asked Shane if what he was referring to was doing what's best for business, which, of course, is the catchphrase of his evil sister and her husband, the Authority. And Bryan said he fought against that, and he believed in their vision, and he didn't want to see Shane become Mr. McMahon. And, of course, Shane had a weird Shane facial reaction to that. I thought this was a good exchange. And ultimately, basically, Daniel told him that if they have a different vision than the one that they started, then he should fire him. And if he's going to fire anybody. And Shane kind of stood there and looked at Bryan, and they played up the mystery a little bit. And Shane ended up telling Bryan that he respected him, he trusts him implicitly, and he wished him the very best with the rest of the show. Live crowd kind of sat there flat for that. I don't know if they were, I can't imagine they wanted to see Daniel Bryan fired, but if they were expecting a little more, you know, fireworks here, just something, a little more drama between the two. And so when Shane said that line, I don't know, they probably thought they were going to get at least a round of applause or something, and they really didn't get anything. I liked the segment, though. I thought this was pretty well done. You know, as we talked about going into Clash of Champions, my hope was that both guys were going to remain babyfaces, that you weren't going to see evil Shane or worse, even worse, I think, evil Daniel Bryan. It was just going to be two babyfaces who disagree. You know, they respect one another, but they disagree. It's not the most exciting thing, I get that, for people who want twists and turns and things, but I really do feel like SmackDown should remain that show where you don't have the evil Authority figure, you don't have all the nonsense going on. I think they have a good thing going with Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan together. Don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, there's been a lot of fan speculation that if Bryan comes back to the ring, if he's ever medically cleared, could he face Shane? Possible. But for now, it seems like they're on the same page. But again, there could be a lot more to this story. But for this week anyway, Things are kind of back to normal, it would seem. Opening match, it was Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin defeating the Uso brothers in a non-title match in 8:33. It was Gable performing his rolling German suplex, and then the two of them hitting a powerbomb doomsday device for the win on one of the Usos. I thought this was fine. It was nice to see them follow up with Gable and Benjamin getting a win after Gable's impressive showing in the four-way. Yeah, wasn't it Gable who took the pin in that match? I could be mistaken. If it was, a little odd that, well, they ended up with the non-title opportunity. But still, you know, either way, hey, we were wondering what they were going to do with the, you know, who would end up being the challengers for the Usos when they just beat three other teams. They basically beat the meaningful players in the tag division. It was like, well, maybe the Bludgeon Brothers, but it feels a little premature for that. But, you know, hey, when the act is as one-dimensional as the Bludgeon Brothers have been so far, maybe it's not such a bad idea. And, I mean, how many more weeks do you have to show them destroying people and just reading bad lines? I mean, I think people kind of get it. But I'm happy to see they're not just bypassing Benjamin and Gable. Looks like they'll be doing a little something with them. I still think Gable, especially, I mean, Benjamin is good. Gable, so young, so talented. I just think he has such a bright future. And so, but I was wondering if they were going to split those two up and maybe Gable would end up in the U.S. title picture or something. But that didn't happen. Speaking of the U.S. championship, they teased that his celebration was coming up next, and Charlotte, for that matter, and they went to a commercial. Charlotte actually was the one who was up next. She was there to talk mostly about, well, you know, to address, I guess, the Women's Royal Rumble. And she was talking about how she was happy about retaining her championship and would be proud to take on the winner of the Royal Rumble in the main event at WrestleMania. And that led to Naomi coming out. And she ended up naming herself the first entrant in the Women's Royal Rumble. So there you have it. They acknowledged the Women's Royal Rumble. And hey, I think we all assumed, like, all right, it's probably going to be women from both Raw and SmackDown. But it was never really stated that way by Stephanie McMahon. The articles that WWE put out really didn't indicate it either. So we were just kind of going on history of, well, that's how it worked for the men, so that's probably how it's going to work for the women as well. I'm happy it is. And but Naomi, the first entrant overall in this Royal Rumble match that they're having for the women on January 28th, she ended up telling Charlotte that she would be seeing her at WrestleMania. This wasn't like tense between the two. They're both baby faces. The Riot Squad came out, and Naomi was talking smack about the Rumble being every woman for herself, and she called them chicken heads, and the crowd actually chanted chicken head at them, and then Naomi challenged any two of them to a match against her and Charlotte. They went to a commercial break, and when they came back, it was Charlotte and Naomi defeating Riot Squad members Ruby Riot and Sarah Logan in about 4 minutes and 10 seconds. A little bit of miscommunication, but down the stretch between the heels, Logan ended up being run into Liv Morgan, and that allowed Naomi to hit her rear view for the win. I enjoyed the match. I thought it was well worked. I thought Naomi had a good outing here. You know, she's basically, I think that the way that I've seen Naomi for some time now is that she can do some impressive things, some impressive high spots in there, but just watching, there's like some of the fundamentals seem a little off, and that's coming, you know, clearly from someone who's not a trained wrestler. But it just, there are times when she looks a little clunky in there with some of the more basic stuff, but she hits these dynamic moves, where this, I just thought, was a good all-around performance. And Charlotte there with her, a little disappointed to see the team of Logan and Riot lose. I was, and Liv Morgan in their corner, by the way. It just feels too soon. You know, you would think that if they were really serious about this faction, that they would be having, well, maybe Riot pinning Charlotte in a non-title match here, you know, in a tag team situation to set something up for down the road. You know, doesn't mean they're cemented this way, but it does feel like they are quickly, Riot Squad, that is, are quickly just becoming just other female wrestlers. You know, you have the champion, her challenger of the month. I guess Carmella has an identity because of Money in the Bank, and then everybody else is just kind of doing everything else. They're just, they stand around either Shane McMahon or Daniel Bryan backstage yelling with one another. And we've already seen the Riot Squad involved in that mess, which I wish WWE would do away with. But, it's one night. I don't want to overanalyze this. Hopefully they're going to be a little more serious with this group than it seems like. Then after the match, they showed Rusev and Aiden English backstage running into New Day. They were all wearing silly Christmas outfits. Let's see, Rusev, I think, was Santa. I'm doing this from memory. And then I think Aiden English was like Frosty the Snowman. And New Day just had on different, I can't remember exactly what they were, but kind of quirky Christmassy outfits. English was, well, first off, we had Rusev show off his new Rusev Day shirt, which I think is going to be a big seller for them, based on some of these crowd reactions. And then English started singing about Rusev Day. And then Rusev ended up taking a bite out of New Day's pancakes and threw them on the floor. He did not like the way they tasted, and that did not sit well with Big E. He was pissed. And so we found out we'd be getting a match with those guys later in the show. Coming out of the next commercial break, Dolph Ziggler came out. They did the bit where the you hear the record scratch, even though they're not using vinyl. So his music starts, record scratches, and you get silence. He comes out and starts boasting that he told everyone so. And he ridiculed the people who said he didn't belong in the title match and those who thought his win came out of nowhere. He started talking about the highs of his career and would have some videos play. First U.S. Championship win, and he talked about the Intercontinental title wins. And then he also talked about when he cashed in Money in the Bank successfully and ended up becoming World Heavyweight Champion. Graves was on commentary saying that he was there in the building, and he doesn't know if he's ever heard a WWE crowd as loud as they were as when Dolph Ziggler won. And, for those who are maybe newer, maybe you're just newer fans, I don't know if it's, I think we've probably heard louder crowds, but that was very well received. People were very high on Dolph Ziggler and waiting for him to get that opportunity, and then it just unfortunately kind of been downhill since then, and the character hasn't really evolved. What he did here was talk about how he's one of the most decorated stars in the company, and talks about how night after night, year after year, he's proven himself to be the very best, yet he goes unappreciated. Told the crowd that they're not worthy of his presence, and the crowds don't deserve him. And he asked the crowd if they want something to remember him by, and he took the U.S. title that he just won, and he laid it down in the middle of the ring, and then left the ring. So I guess the idea is that the broadcast team kind of played it up like they didn't know what the hell was happening either. I'm guessing he's vacating the title. There's been, a lot of Jake Barnett talked about it in the Clash of Champions audio and our audio review on Sunday night, and really going into it. There have been rumors for a while about his contract expiring. So this could be, he is leaving the company. Could also be, hey, they're playing into those rumors. And so I'm not quite sure what's going on with Dolph Ziggler. I wish I could say that I cared more. I don't. I have fun joking about Dolph Ziggler. Nothing against the guy. I just wish, I would actually like to see him leave the company and get out there on the independent scene and reinvent himself. Can he just go out there and wrestle as Nick Nemeth, formerly Dolph Ziggler, and do the same shtick? Yeah, he can. But I'd really like to see him just try something new. It's the guys that seem to do that, or they just, I guess Drew McIntyre didn't change dramatically. He just improved in so many areas. Cody has made some changes. And so I'd like to see Ziggler. I think he is very good in the ring. I'd like to see him, if he is leaving, or hell, even if he's staying for that matter, reinvent himself somehow. He just has had this the same kind of look going on for all these years. And, the neon shirts and the suit jacket, it's kind of played out, and he's never really changed it. So I'm hoping that it's, WWE didn't want him to, but Man, if he gets out there on the independent scene, he can't wait to show us what he has in mind. So I think it would be interesting if he did end up leaving. But again, I have no idea what the future holds for Dolph and what this means with him lying down the U.S. Championship in the ring. But I have said, my guess is that somehow, some way, that U.S. Championship ends up on Jinder Mahal sooner rather than later, because I think that's a nice fallback plan for him. All right, he's not, I don't think people want to see him as the WWE champion, but I think people will accept him as a good, strong secondary champion, because I do think he's been elevated. It's just that I think people have been so hung up on he's not the right guy to be the face of this brand. He's, you know, it's too much too soon. Whatever the thought process is on Jinder, I just think, people are going to be a little more accepting of him in a secondary champion role than they were as a WWE champion. Backstage, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens approached Daniel Bryan, tried to give him a bottle of champagne. He refused, said he did what he did for SmackDown, not for them or their fans. And Owens and Zayn told him they know the real reason he did it. It's because of Randy Orton. They recalled how Randy stole his title in 2013 along with the Authority and tried to break his spirit. And they said Bryan got the last laugh on Orton, just like they did on Shane. And Bryan said they needed to stop gloating and take the smiles off their faces, or he just might fire them himself. And he told them to go get ready for their match. So making it very clear that, at least for this week, he's not in cahoots with Owens and Zayn. I don't think he is. I mean, they just were so aggressive and with Byron Saxton last week, accusing him of everything under the sun, that it was like, oh, that's not the direction they're going in if they're being so blunt about it. So I don't think the intention is to turn Daniel Bryan, so I think it was smart to kind of have this play out to establish that, no, he's not aligned with these guys. And I thought he did a nice job in that opening segment of explaining where he was coming from and why he did what he did. In the third match, it was the annual Christmas costume match. All right, I don't know if it's annual, but it feels that way. And it was Rusev and Aiden English losing to New Day in 8 minutes and 58 seconds. It was Woods hitting a top rope elbow on English to get the win. They all wrestled in the same attire they had on backstage, the Christmas costumes. And, I hate this sort of a thing. You know, call me a Scrooge, if you will, when it comes to WWE holiday fun. But it's just never been my thing. I mean, do I see people in the crowd having some fun with it at times? Sure. Is it fun for the kids? Do they get a kick? Sure. It's just never been my thing to watch, you know, grown men dressed up in these silly, you know, reindeer costumes or whatever, you know, whatever the hell they're dressed up in, having these over-the-top matches. But in this case, I didn't mind it. And I was thinking about it, and some of it, like, they would have, I think Dean Ambrose is probably a guy. I think they've done some of this with him in the past. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But we'll use him as an example. There's a quirkiness to the Dean character that I wish we'd see less of. I kind of like more serious Dean Ambrose, for instance, and so I wouldn't be crazy about that. Then there's guys like, they throw Titus O'Neil in something like this, and I'd be like, oh God, it's just a turnoff, because it's Titus O'Neil. I have a hard time watching Titus worldwide, even when he's not doing some Christmas-themed thing. But you take two acts like New Day, who are all about silliness and quirkiness and fun, and really, the same thing with Rusev and English now, it worked. You know, would I want to see this again? No. But was it fine in the moment? Was it good for a couple of laughs? Yes. And they did, they had the pancakes at ringside. This led to Rusev and English putting whipped cream and even a cherry on top of the pancakes. And, of course, it ended up being English who had his face driven into the whipped cream by New Day. So the heels foiled again. And hopefully this is not a sign that you think this was fun? Wait until Raw on Monday on Christmas. Oh my, the silliness will really begin. Oh man, I can't believe they're doing Raw on Christmas, but it is what it is, folks. Then we went to the main event time. They showed AJ Styles, Orton, and Nakamura preparing backstage and went to a commercial. Then the baby faces entered, then the heels followed that, and it was time for that main event, and it was the team of Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and Shinsuke Nakamura defeating Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Jinder Mahal in just under 17 minutes. This was, I enjoyed this match. The Singh brothers were there with Mahal. They ended up being ejected, but before they could even leave, Orton ended up performing his like a double version of that. Is it the hanging DDT that he performs with them on the ropes? But Orton ended up hitting an RKO on Jinder. Actually, before that, Styles took out Kevin Owens with a phenomenal forearm, and then Nakamura ended up performing the Kinshasa for the win on Sami Zayn. So the babyfaces get the win, and this was just, you know, kind of symbolic for the rest of the show in a way, in that, fine if you saw it, entertaining match, but did it mean a lot in the storyline, you know, the storyline future? No. I'm hoping that it's, hey, they gave Nakamura a win here. You know, somebody had to win the main event, but hopefully it means more than that. Hopefully it's a sign that, yeah, they're serious about doing something with this guy, and I look at him as a real contender for the Royal Rumble match. You know, I think it would be crazy to give Roman Reigns another win in Philadelphia. I don't see that happening. And so I'm guessing, you know, even though I think Reigns is going to go on to challenge Lesnar like everyone else does, I think he'll just have a different path. And it'll be the whoever ends up challenging for the SmackDown title that wins the Royal Rumble match. Why not Nakamura? What a great way to help heat him up. So that's what I'm hoping to see. I mean, there's some other options. People have mentioned Finn Balor, for instance. You know, there's some other options out there, but Nakamura is the guy I'd like to see win the Rumble match and go on to and have that match with AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Nakamura needs something. You know, he just hasn't meant what he should since he's been called up to the main roster, and I think, again, that would be a great way to jumpstart him. One little thing that they're doing with these shows this week is, I mean, just the announcement of the Women's Royal Rumble match, and then even Naomi announcing that she's the first entrant. Doesn't mean she's number one overall. It just means that she's the first person to announce her entry into the match. Just want to make sure there's not any confusion on that. But little things like that make a show feel a little newsworthy. You know, it is kind of one of the reasons I scratched my head when WWE just randomly threw out three matches for Clash of Champions on Friday night, you know, the Friday news dump, basically. That seemed like a really strange approach, because little things like pay-per-view matches and, if it's the kickoff show match, all right, you don't have to announce it on Raw and SmackDown. You can, but it's not a big deal if you announce that online. But there are certain things, like, again, just a little thing like Naomi announcing that she's in the Women's Rumble match that, it makes it feel, you know, the show feel, the viewer makes it feel like you've invested your time, I don't know what wisely, but at least you're getting a little bit of reward. You know, you're first to find out that, okay, Naomi's in, and on Raw you found out that Elias is in the Rumble, for instance. I think little things like that do help. Doesn't make a show or break a show, but I think they do help. But that is going to do it for now, everybody. Hey, if you enjoy these long-form audio reviews of SmackDown, maybe you've heard them for Raw, the various shows that we review, know that the members hear them each and every Monday night and Tuesday night after these shows are done. So I get last night, 45 minutes or so probably, I'm guessing. Normally that seems to be about the length of the Raw audio reviews that I do on Monday nights for the members. And then SmackDown, same thing, a little bit shorter because we don't have that third hour, but the members have access to those. So if you don't get them here at pwaudio.net on the all-access side of things, know that the members do every week. So just because you're not seeing them doesn't mean that the members don't have access to them. They are there. And if you're interested in membership, you can also listen to our recent Raw, SmackDown, and Ring of Honor roster evaluations that we've talked about, running through every single wrestler on those rosters. And those are very popular features, great feedback on this year's batch, NXT still to come, Impact Wrestling done earlier in the year. Another perk of audio. We had Ring of Honor Final Battle. I did the audio review for that show on Friday night after it was over. And then the same thing on Sunday night. I got together with Jake Barnett and we did that Clash of Champions audio review. So as you can tell, we produce a ton of audio content for our members. And it's also available on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net, both the website and the mobile site. If all of that sounds good to you, you're interested, visit our main page at ProWrestling.net. Click into our sign-up area, and once you are there, you're going to find three different pricing options. Choose the one that works best for you, and if you have any questions at all, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. Again, that's at ProWrestlingNet, or you can shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com, dotnetjason@gmail.com. That's going to do it for now. This will probably be the last time you guys hear from me before the holiday, so I guess it's still Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah to everyone celebrating that holiday, and Merry Christmas to everyone who will be celebrating Christmas over the weekend as well. You'll be hearing John Moore coming up with the 205 Live audio review on Wednesday, and then Thursday, John Moore's NXT audio review, and it should be an interesting show. It looks like they've blocked this out for 90 minutes on WWE Network. Friday, a bit up in the air. There's a chance you will hear a pretentious wrestling podcast with Will and Jake, but that is not official yet. If there's not, well, Impact is in best of mode, so you probably just chalk that one up. We'll call it a holiday since, Christmas doesn't really get to be a holiday this year for me anyway, because Christmas night with that Raw show. So there'll be audio that day where normally we just take Christmas off. So we may kind of call Friday the holiday and just not have an all-access show. But more details to come. It's still very possible that Will and Jake will get together. So keep an eye out for it. But again, happy holidays, everyone. Take care.